God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. As we walk the path of life together with the Lord, it's from Paul's letter to the Colossian church. This church that was in the midst of pagans. This church that was like a lighthouse. A lighthouse to the spiritually blind. God comes to us with these words from Paul. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So for God's word, for our consideration this morning, I want you to think about tomorrow. By the grace of God, we will wake up tomorrow morning, and it seems like it's going to be no different than any other day, but it's been given a name. And by the grace of God, we'll see Labor Day tomorrow. So what does it mean for Labor Day? Some people might say, you know, it's just another day on this earth. Some others might say, well, I have to go to work. Some others might say, well, it's time for me to rest. A certain man was out in the community getting opinions from people about what it means to do work. And he came to one and he said, it puts food on the table. What do you think? Another said, I kind of enjoy going to work. I kind of enjoy seeing my coworkers, seeing those people around me. And he came to a woman who was a scrub woman that was doing floors, and then she was wringing out her mom. This gentleman asked her, so what do you do for the Lord? What kind of work do you do? And she says, all of it. I want you to think about that when we think about work. Each and every one of us has to work because it became a thing that we had to do in the garden. In the Garden of Eden. Garden that Eve and Adam were in. Remember those two people. And Eve took in the apple and gave to her husband. Both ate, both knew what they were, that they were naked, and did all the leaves and everything. But you know, we're missing a point too. Because of that sin, Adam was told that he had just toil in the soil, that he was going to be working. He was going to do that work. And because of that sin, we also have to work. But you didn't think about that. But that's where this concept of work came from. Each and every one of us has to do what God has called us to do. For some, it means working in the hospital. For others, it means working in the business world or, you know, in high office buildings. For some others, they are digging in the streets, connecting things, repairing things, doing that kind of work. And I would imagine that when we are working, when we've been in the work field, we didn't whistle, did we? We didn't whistle as we work. We didn't sing a song to Jesus while we worked. Sometimes it was very hard to do because you're either conducting a class for adults, kids, or something else, and you get frustrated. I know I've become frustrated in my ministry several times. Thinking about confirmation class, In my first parish, having confirmation was pretty difficult for two young boys, with one sitting there and hitting imaginary spitballs, and the other taking the end of the fountain pen off and using it as using the spring inside that fountain pen to shoot the top off. It was pretty hard having confirmation class when three young people took it upon themselves to make life impossible for me, that I had to close up the book. I didn't whistle while I was working that day. And when a mother called me and said, "Pastor, I hear you had some problems in confirmation class today." And I said, "Yes." And she said, I'm sure that my daughter wasn't one of them. And I said, "She certainly was." And the phone was slammed in my ear. Whistle while I work. Oh, man, that's hard. That's hard. And each of us could probably do the same thing of thinking about working, about singing, about whistling while we work. But you see, that's Paul's objective. In everything that you do, in word or deed, give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. That's to be our existence. Because God sent Jesus to this earth to work for us, to give his life as a ransom for many, to be on that cross for each and every one of us, so that we would have life eternal. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus did that enormous work for us. We sang it just a little while ago. Salvation unto us has come through God's favor and grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to do anything except believe. When Paul and Silas were in the jail, and a mighty earthquake happened, and this is in Acts, and the jailer was so afraid that he ran in and fell on his knees before Pilate, Paul, and Silas. "What must I do to be saved?" the jailer said. And Paul's exact words were, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." God gave us this Jesus to walk the path of sacrifice for each and every one of us, so that we would have life and have it abundantly. But that doesn't take away working. Because working is a witness. Working's a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Working is a witness to our faith. Working is also a witness to those around us. See, we give more of a witness when we do something rather than say something. We can preach the Lord Jesus long and hard, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Witnessing, showing forth your faith, is a powerful example of your faith, is a powerful example of who you believe in and what you do. And I've mentioned this gal before, a nurse that was my mother's nurse, who was working. And as she was working, she had a button that Karen said would never be allowed in mail. But the button was about Easter, and it had the three crosses on it. And it was about believing in Jesus. And she said also to us that she has prayed with my mother. An example of witnessing while she's working. We each can do that. Because it's amazing what people see and how they see you. In my first parish, I was out visiting an older lady, and I've used this illustration before, but it's so interesting, and it's such a hazardous impact on each and every one of us, is that as I was sitting there, well, before, every time that I would go out there, her husband would make an excuse to go and to leave her with me. He'd go for the mail, or he'd go for coffee, or he'd do something. But this one day was not a very nice wintry day. I made my way to their house, and I got in, and he was sitting there. And we sat in the living room, we chatted for a while. Then he said, well, you can go in the kitchen and have your devotion and whatever you want to do. And so I was sitting there, and I was having this communion service, private communion service, and all of a sudden, I could see him out of the corner of my eye. They had a half wall, not this way, but this way. And I could see him leaning around the wall and looking at me during that time of celebration of the communion. Then I left, and he said, well, we'll see you later, Pastor. He continued to have his little ventures when I was there with his wife. He would go out to get coffee, out to get mail, whatever. We moved to International Falls, and shortly thereafter, a couple months after, I got a card from one of the members of the church. And in that card was this photograph from the paper. And the paper was there, and they were celebrating some milestone wedding anniversary, and I forget what it was. And it said in there, they celebrated their wedding anniversary at church, and he became a member. A member that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can think back of how many people probably preached to him, said something, but he saw something in that celebration of communion that moved him so much to be a member of the Lord's church. And that's what God gives to us, is a powerful witness. And he will use his Holy Spirit in our lives to move us to say something to someone about Jesus. You see, God gives us those opportunities. Those opportunities that are in with his Spirit. He gives us the words to speak. He gives us the compassion to share with others. He gives us that compassion and that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to use us in his world to share Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So when we think about Labor Day, and we think about laboring and working, it might be a drudgery. It might be solely to put food on the table, clothes on our back, shelter over our head. But as we think about this Labor Day and all the labor we do afterwards, we do because of powerful Spirit that God gives to us. And through his grace, maybe someone will hear Jesus. Maybe someone will come to faith because of your action, because of your word, because of what you have said about Jesus and his strength. May God go with you and bless you this day and evermore as his servant here in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.